You know, I think, it is our responsibility. Amen. I believe if America is to be saved, it's going to be because God's people get right. Amen. And turn back to Him. We've played church for a long time. And, I think there's some things transpiring in our world right now. We're going to find out who's serious and who's not about serving God. Amen. And I think folks that are here on Wednesday night must be pretty serious. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think, I rejoice when I see people coming out. And, I'm getting ahead of myself, but Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin reading with verse number 35. It's a real blessing to serve the Lord. Let me just share one testimony with you because I get so excited about this. You know, the pandemic hit. We travel around. My wife and I travel with different churches, and we preach some revival meetings and fill in a lot of pulpit supply and different things. And when the pandemic hit, churches quit meeting, a lot of churches. And we didn't have any place to preach. And so one Sunday morning, we're getting ready to go to my son's church. We're going to be on online service. We just help with the music while he's online service. And so I open up while my wife's getting ready. I open up our electric bill. And our electric bill was right at $400. And I said, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. Nobody's calling to preach. We love off of love offerings. Our whole ministry has been based on faith. And so I don't know what we're going to do. Monday morning, I went to the mailbox. You know what was in the mailbox? A check for $300 and some, almost the full amount for the electric bill. But guess the amazing part was? It was from the electric company. I said, we're on a co-op, and after so many years, they have to go back and figure their books and pay everybody back that's in the co-op. This was back in 1998. I said, only my God knew in 1998 we would need that in 2020. Amen. Praise God. That's what God will do. And I have some more amazing stories I could tell you how God just helped us through the pandemic. But the Lord didn't put that on my heart tonight. But I just wanted to share that with you because I told God, I said, Lord, if you supply our needs through this, I'll tell people what you did. And I tell you, he's a great God. Amen. And we can rejoice in that. He's still on the throne. He still knows what we need. He still said he would supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Not mine, but his. Thank God it's not mine. We'd all be in trouble. He's just counting on mine. I was in the bank one day, and there was some people working outside the bank, and they had one of these jackhammers. And I said, are these guys going to break in here and get my $3? But the teller started laughing, but the guy beside me said, boy, you must be one of the rich ones in here. But anyway, Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse number 35, the word of God says, in the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, this is Jesus speaking now, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, talking about Jesus, in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves and the sea obey him? Father, we ask tonight your blessings. Father, folks tonight didn't come to see me. They came to see you do a mighty work in their hearts. Lord, I believe that people are thirsting for a moving of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you would move in a powerful way. Lord, help us to open our heart to what you have for us. And Lord, we give you the praise, we'll give you the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I title messages sometime, but then I end up changing them in the message. So it's hard to tell them what you'll get, but they asked me what I titled. I said, Finding Faith When the Storm Rolls In. The passage there in verse number 46, he says, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Sometimes in the storms, that's where we find where our faith really is. Amen. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more. But there's some things about a storm, that I find out that I think about in my mind. I'm just kind of a simple guy, you know. I just kind of, you know, matter of fact, sometimes when I read the Bible, and I just kind of think, you know, crazy things, you know. But I think about the storms, and I think when the storms of life come, and we all experience them, don't we? I mean, things just come rolling in. But when they come at the most inconvenient times, don't they? I mean, we're not expecting it. You can look at my calendar over there. I did not write down pandemic in 2020. I didn't have it planned. You know, it wasn't something I was expecting. It wasn't coming. You know, it was not on my schedule. I bet it wasn't on any of your schedules either. None of us put it in there, did we? Matter of fact, most of us have never ever experienced anything like that in my life. Our youngest son's pastoring the Pittsburgh Baptist Church. And he'd come to me and he said, "Dad, what do we do about this?" I said, "I have no idea, Joe." I said, "This is all new to us." I said, "We just have to pray and ask God for direction." And, you know, we just work our way through it. The storms come at the most inconvenient times. We don't expect them, you know. And sometimes the storm comes as a temptation of the devil. You know, the devil will bring something about just to tempt us, to try and get us away from the Lord. Many times storms come, and probably maybe more times than not, a storm come to test our faith. To find out where we're at, what we're leaning upon, what we're resting in, what we're relying on. And a lot of people found out that during the pandemic, they couldn't rely upon their paycheck. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people started relying upon the government. And I want to tell you something, they're going to be really fooled somewhere down the road. They're putting their faith in the government to take care of them. You know, it's not going to happen. It's going to be devastating. And we need to learn where our faith is at and where we need to place our faith and to keep our faith. And those storms come as a test to where our faith is at, to get us to wake up and see, cause us to realize, what are we really putting our trust in? What are we really relying upon? And I venture to say that many people were relying upon how good things were. And now all of a sudden, wow, we don't know what to expect next. And so those tests, the Lord will use the storms as a test in our life to wake us up, to bring us back to a strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in Him. They come at inconvenient times. We're not expecting them. If we would expect them, we would plan for it, wouldn't we? We'd write down, "Boy, this is what we're going to do, and this is how I'm going to get through this." We'd have everything all figured out. But it's an inconvenient storm, something we're not expecting. And so it doesn't work. The car breaks down. Oh, man, I wasn't planning that, you know. And we can name a number of things tonight. Medical situations. Go to the doctor and you get bad news. You know, you got cancer or whatever. I'm not planning that. That's a storm. Well, that storm comes. So the devil may use it to tempt us to get away from God. God uses it as a test to strengthen our faith. And so we need to just realize that when these storms come, and they will come, if you haven't experienced one lately, just wait. You'll probably get one for long. And but don't write it on your calendar, because it'll come unexpectedly. It won't be when you expect it. And so we can realize that storms are inconvenience. They come at inconvenient times in our life. Storms happen right in the middle of God's will. Have you ever heard people say, "Well, if you're the safest place to be is in the middle of God's will"? You'd have had trouble explaining that to the disciples that day. The safest place to be is in the middle of God's will. Well, it really was, because God told them, "We're going to go to the other side." If they'd had faith, they would have just believed Him. "We're going to the other side. Hey, no matter what comes our way, God said, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side." But look what it says there in verse number 36. And He said, "When He had sent the multitude away in the evening, he took him in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." And He doesn't mention all these other little ships, but He says in verse number 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind." He told them to get in the ship. He told them he was going to the other side. They're in the middle of God's will. They obeyed the Lord. They did exactly what He told them to do. They got in the ship. They began their journey to the other side. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat." But we can be in the middle of God's will and still experience storms, still experience tragic things. I believe Job was in the middle of God's will. But Job experienced some tragic things, did he not? I mean, he lost everything that he had. And then his wife even told him, "Well, just curse God and die." You know, I had a preacher friend of mine one time. He said that they were kind of going through a little bit of struggle, and he started to walk in the other room, and he stubbed his toe on the chair, and he started jumping around saying, "Oh, oh," and his wife said, "Well, why don't you just curse God and die?" Well, that would be hard. That would be pretty bad, wouldn't it? But hey, he was in the middle of God's will. You can go through the scriptures time after time after time. You could just almost open it anywhere you want to open it. You'll find somebody who is in the middle of God's will but is going through a tragic situation, going through a storm in their life. It was difficult in the middle of God's will. So look, you can be right with God. You can be praying. You can be reading your Bible. You can be attending church. You can be doing exactly what God wants you to do. And before you know it, a storm hits right in the middle of God's will. You wouldn't think that God would do that to you, would you? But there's some things God wants us to learn in the middle of a storm. God wants to teach us some things. You can be as close as we are right now to God. I mean, even closer. We could be rubbing shoulders with God. That's what they were. They were rubbing shoulders with Jesus. And they were. You could be as close as you can be and still enter into a storm. Enter into difficulties. They were in his will. They were the closest to him. They were his disciples. They were his chosen. He chose them to be his disciples, to be his followers. He said, you follow me. He said, you get in the ship. He got on the ship with them. They were the closest to him. And they experienced the storm. They experienced a difficult time. It was a heartache. It was a frightful time, the Bible says, that they were great fear came upon them. It was a fearful time. These men were, most of them, were experienced fishermen. Most of them had probably experienced storms before. They'd been out fishing. A storm came up. They would have been in storms before, but this storm was a little bit different. This storm scared the experienced fishermen, you know. And they were close to the Lord. They were doing exactly what he wanted them to do. And said, so what was Jesus' purpose in all this? What was he wanting them to learn? You know, I think that there's a couple of things, particularly, he could tell them to keep doing what they were doing. In my mind, this is me, I can't tell you this exactly in the Bible, but this is kind of in my warped mind. The Bible says that the winds were strong and the waves beat upon the ship and the ship was full. And they thought they were going under. They thought they were sinking. They came to the Lord and said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish. They thought they were sinking. And so they were scared. In my mind, I'm thinking they grabbed everything they could that would hold water, and they were pitching it out. You know, they were bailing water. They were throwing it out as fast as they could. They were doing everything they knew to do as fishermen to keep that boat afloat. What they had done in the past, in their experience, all of their ability, all of their efforts. I mean, they were pitching water as fast as they could pitch it, and it was coming in. You know, I could almost figure 12 buckets of water go out, 15 buckets come in. You know. And they're fearful. And they ask Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? There's a great song that talks about, does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. Yeah, my mom and dad, I had a little older brother. He was 2 years older than me. When he was 5 years old, I was 3 years old, and that's 2 years, you know. And he was hit by an automobile and was killed. My mom and dad were not churchgoers at that time. They didn't know anything about church. They weren't saved even at that time. But they heard the song, Does Jesus Care? And it brought them through that dark time in their life. It brought them through that heartache. See, storms don't only come to Christians, but come to lost people too. And we could be an encouragement to those people who are going through the storm. Listen, we need to help them. People are having a hard time everywhere. But anyway, these guys were doing everything in their own power. They were working in their own efforts. And we could do that. How many of us do that? You know? I'd venture to say that probably everybody in this room, at least one time or another, has gone through a difficult time, and we try to figure it out the best way we can. I'll rob Peter to pay Paul. Financial situation, or I'll borrow somebody's car to get me through this. We try to figure all these things out. The tragic thing is, we try to figure it out in our own efforts, our own power, and then it's just like a light bulb comes on. Oh, I'll ask God for help. You know, I think that's what happened to these guys. They were bailing it out as fast as they could. The water was full. The boat was full of water. And they said, oh, let's ask Jesus. Let me tell you something. These guys, this day began, as far as I can figure, this day began back in Mark chapter 3. In Mark chapter 3, there's a lot of events took place. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus caused the lame to walk. Jesus took and caused a man with a palsy, healed a man with palsy. Jesus did a lot of miracles. You would have thought maybe if that whole day was full of all these miracles, the first thing they would have done was say, let's go to the miracle worker. But that wasn't the first thing they did. But how many times have we done that? How many times have God seen us through time after time after time after time, and then when something comes up, we still try to figure it out on our own? We're still trying to do it. So that's why God brings those things in our life, I think, is to teach us, stop trying to figure it out on your own and come to the Master. He said, carest thou not that we perish? You know, it says that the ship was full, and Jesus, it says there that Jesus was asleep on the pillow. He had the first water bed. You know? I mean, the ship was full. He was asleep. It was full of water, and he's asleep on a pillow. And they come to him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Sometimes I've talked to people. I've counseled with people who said, I just don't feel like God cares. They were going through such deep times. They just didn't feel like God cares. You ever felt that way? They felt that way. Carest thou not that we perish? What he was teaching them is, you're placing your faith in the wrong place. You're placing your faith in the wrong things. You can't place your faith in the ship that you're in. It's going under. You can't place your faith in the ability that you have to try to get the water out of the ship. It's going under. He said, where is your faith? He said, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The same passage, the same occurrence is given in other two accounts in the Gospels. And in one of the Gospels, one of the disciples said it like this. He said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? What are you placing it in? I know people who were multimillionaires who lost almost everything they had. You know where their faith was at? In their money. When they lost it, they were devastated. My first pastor, he used to say this, my very first pastor, I saved at Faith Baptist Church in Avon, 1976, during a revival meeting. My very first pastor used to say this, it's not wrong to have things, but it's wrong for things to have you. And you can tell when things have you is by how you respond when you lose it. See, if that thing, if you lose that thing, and it devastates your life, you had your hope and your faith placed in the wrong things. See, I can lose everything I have. I wouldn't want to. I pray it never happens. I can lose everything I have, but I can't lose Jesus Christ. My faith is in Him. My hope is built on Jesus Christ. And that's what He's trying to teach His disciples here. He said, look, I want you to have your faith in me. He's like, he didn't say this, but I can, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, he's already thinking, I already told you guys we're going to the other side. You know, we're going over there. It doesn't matter what the storm does. It doesn't matter what happens. We're going to the other side. There's some things that, you know, he's wanting us to teach us some things there about just trusting in him, trusting in his ability. Listen, He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He caused the blind to see, the lame to walk. He's a miracle-working God. I still believe he's a miracle-working God. I believe it was a miracle when I got that check in the mail. I don't care what anybody else says. Jesus did that. The light company might want to take credit if they want to, but I know where it came from, amen? And I know where it came from. And he's the one that's still on the throne. He's the one still in control. And we need to place our faith and trust in him and his ability. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Look, he took a handful of dirt and made us. You know, if he can do that, whoo, man, I'm telling you, amen. Where is your faith? What are you putting your faith in? What are you trusting in? What are you relying in? Look, I'm not against people getting a vaccine, but if that's where your faith is at, you're wrong. You know, I'm not against it. I think if you do it, matter of fact, people ask me, they say, you get a vaccine? I said, look, I have a great physician. And when he tells me to get it, I'll get it. If he tells me not to, I won't. And if they ask me who the great physician is, then I can tell them, amen.
But that's just the way I think, you know, we got to watch what we're, the devil wants to transfer our faith to something else if he can. And I'm telling you, he's working overtime right now during the pandemic. He's got people afraid. He's got them afraid of each other. We're in a storm. We're in a big storm. And the Church of Christ is going to have to make up their mind, where are we going to put our faith and trust? We're going to put our faith in Jesus Christ and rely upon him. I love what it says here, how Jesus responded to this storm. In verse number 39, it says, they woke him up, says, carest thou not that we perish. Verse 39 says, and he arose, talking about Jesus, and he arose. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. See, earlier it was a great storm. Now it's a great calm. There's two things that took place here. A lot of times we read that verse and we think it's just kind of one event. But there's two things that took place. Jesus rebuked the wind, and he calmed the sea. Two events took place. We look at it just kind of one thing, but it's two things took place. When he rebuked the storm, that's what was causing the problem. The waves were an effect of the wind. See, you ever gone to the doctor and go into the doctor and say, doctor said, what's wrong? I say, that's what I came in here for. You tell me what's wrong. And so I give him my list of my symptoms. I'm telling him what's going on. And then you know what he does? He prescribes me medicine to help the symptoms. I say, but what's causing that? Let's deal with the cause. Jesus knew the cause was the wind of the storm. He rebuked the wind, and he said, calm, the peace came upon the sea. Caused a great calm. Amen. Listen, when our faith is in the right place, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he'll rebuke the problem. We run into financial issues. We say, well, what's, well, the effect is, man, we get worried, we get distressed. You know, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, I don't want to do this. You know, we get all worried about, well, what's causing the problem? I was talking to a couple one time, and they said, can you help us with our finances? I said, I can't give you any money. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. And I said, let's look at your budget. Let's go through your bills. And they started going through their bills, and they said, well, we got internet, we got cable TV. I said, okay, let's mark those off the list. We can't get rid of those. I said, well, you'll just keep having financial problems. I can't help you. See, there's things that cause those things. Let's deal with the cause. When we get the cause taken care of and you get back on your feet, those are luxury items. Nothing wrong with having them, but they're luxury items. But if they're going to cause you grief and heartache and cause you difficulty and cause anxiety in your life, get rid of them until you get it taken care of. So many times we go through difficult situations in our life, but we start dealing with the effects instead of dealing with the problem. What's causing those things? That's what Jesus is trying to teach them. Look, you're dealing with the effects. You're trying to bail the water out. Let's deal with the cause. Right. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And there was a great sea, but great calm. You know, one of the things that hit me as I was preparing this message is You ever read the Bible and then something jump out at you never noticed before? After 44 years, it still happens to me. It's still exciting, you know? And it's still exciting. But I was reading this, and it says, and he arose. Woo-hoo! You got it already, didn't you? He arose. You didn't catch it the first time, did you? He arose. Let me tell you, when Jesus arose, when he came forth out of the grave, man, he put the devil on the flight. When he arose out of the grave, he set us free from our sin. He delivered us from the things that bind us. When he arose, things happen. When Jesus gets up, when they were stoning Stephen to death, the Bible says that Jesus stood. Yes. When he arises, man, things happen. You know, I'm telling you. That got me excited. I thought, man, you could build a whole another sermon out of that. When, amen. But he wants to take and strengthen our faith
He's challenging our faith in the midst of storm, in the midst of 2020, the pandemic. Now we're into 2021 and we're still seeing the effects of these things. He's challenging our faith. He said, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. You know why we're not having revival? We're not being humble. Matter of fact, I have a whole sermon I preach on 1 Corinthians 7:14. You know, God puts things in order sometimes that we don't catch it. He put humility before prayer. I thought, well, Lord, why would you do that? Well, shouldn't we pray for humility? No, he says, humble yourself. Because if you're not humble, that means you're proud. And if you're proud, you don't pray right. And we don't pray right, we won't admit our sin. Joe said the other day, I'll fall on a rabbit trail. Don't worry, I'll kill it. But God's trying to strengthen our faith, get us to put our faith and our trust in Him, rely upon Him. They were in the midst of a storm. He said, quit relying upon yourself and the things that you know to do in the earthly realm and start depending on faith in Jesus in the spiritual realm. Because things transpire in the spiritual realm that the earthly realm will never understand. I don't know what happened to the other little ships. It doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say. It said there are other little ships there. Well, if there were little ships and this ship was about to go under, I don't know. But I have a sneaky feeling. This is just me. If Jesus ever going to the other side, I think they all went to the other side. Amen. I don't think any of them sank that night. I think they all went. And listen, we affect people who are around us. And we can bring more people with us by a demonstration of our faith in Christ, resting in Him. He wants to use us for His honor and for His glory. We need to realize that Jesus dealt with the cause. What are you relying upon tonight? What are you trusting in? Deal with the cause. Why are you trusting in that? Why are you depending upon that? I'm depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm depending upon my Heavenly Father because I know what He's done in my life. I know that He saved my soul. I know that His word is true because I've experienced it over and over and over and over again. And I'm relying upon what He says, not what man might say. What are you trusting in? What are you relying upon? He rebuked the wind because that's what's causing the problem. He says, as a great storm became a great calm, and the disciples had great fear. But then in verse 40 it says, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Why are we so fearful? Did you ever ask yourself that? Why? What am I fearing during this pandemic? Why am I so fearful? What's the worst thing that could happen to us Christians? We could die and go to heaven. I don't think that's the worst thing. I think that's really the best thing, you know. But I've commented before. I said, I think that we Christians have developed a love affair with this life. We spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to try to keep this body alive. And we're going to have a heavenly home. My mother, she suffered we had her on a ventilator for 6 months. I'd never do that again. She was suffering on a ventilator for 6 months, trying our best to keep her alive. And this is when this thought came to me. Why do we spend so much money to try to keep them alive when we know they're going to a better place? If I'm going to stand here and preach to you how wonderful heaven is and how great heaven is, why in the world would I try to keep you here in this world? I don't think we ought to be stupid. You know, God's got a plan for us. But we need to trust Him. We need to have faith in Him, rely upon Him. Where is your faith? What are you putting your trust in? I'm not putting it in this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, amen? And I'm glad for that. Verse number 41, it says, the disciples here said, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? They feared the storm. But when Jesus calmed the storm, they feared Him exceedingly. Now, they should have already had that fear. They already saw all the miracles. That whole day was full of miracles. I mean, they saw him do miraculous things. You would have thought, wow, I'm going to fear him, you know. But when the storm arose, that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants to transfer our fear of God to the fear of the things of this world. He doesn't want us fearing God. We should fear him exceedingly. He is the one who's all powerful. He is the one who can speak to the wind and calm the sea. Amen. He's the one we should fear. I think that's what he was trying to teach his disciples that day. And when you go through the storms of your life, think about it. That's what God's trying to teach you. He's trying to teach you to rely upon him. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. They tell me in the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, that word there for never means no never, 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 no never. For it just goes on for all eternity. I will no never forsake you nor leave you. In the midst of the storm, he hasn't left you. He's there. I like, they said when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was cast into the fiery furnace, said the king looked in there and said, did we not throw in three men? He said, yeah, king, we threw in three men. He said, I see four in there, and the fourth is like the Son of God walking around. You know, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego only lost one thing when they went in the fire of the furnace. That was the things that bound them. They bound them and threw them in. But when the king looked in, they were loosed and walking about. When we go through the storms of our life, we go through the fiery furnace of our life, we just lose the things that bind us. And then I like what old one black preacher said. He said, the king told him, let those guys out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out. And he said, but Jesus stayed in there for when you go through the fire. I thought that's a good thought, amen, because that's where he's at. That's where we'll find the Lord is when we go through the fire. He's there with us. He'll not leave us. He'll not forsake us. Listen, folks, we're going to experience these things in our life. They're going to be inconvenient. They're going to come unexpected times in our life. It's not something we plan, but it's something God's planned. And God will teach us to place our faith in him. And he'll set us free. He'll loose us from the things that bind us. They were bound by their own efforts, but they were set free. We'll be loosed from our own efforts, and God will give us victory in a great and mighty way. And I tell you, I know tonight is a message that's been basically trying to encourage Christians, because the devil's trying to rob us of our fear. He's trying to rob us of our faith. He doesn't want us fearing God. He doesn't want us having faith in God. I know it's been just an encouragement to try to get you to focus upon what God's doing in the midst of the trial, what God's doing in our midst to get us to place our faith and trust in him. But if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You don't have to go through the storms of life alone. You can trust Jesus Christ and he'll be with you. You can put your faith and trust in him. He'll give you an eternal home in heaven. He's gone to prepare a place for us. And he will come again. And I believe it could be any time he's coming again to receive us unto himself. That where he is, there we may be also. Amen. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, let me challenge you. Quit putting faith in your own efforts, your own goodness, your own abilities, the things that you think are going to get you to heaven, and put your faith in Jesus Christ. He rose from the grave to set us free. If you'll put your faith and trust in him, I promise you, he'll be with you for all eternity. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, you're so good to us. Lord, we sometimes don't understand the things that we go through. I know sometimes they can be very difficult. Sometimes they can be even heartbreaking for us. But Lord, if we'll learn to just focus upon you and turn to you and place our faith and trust in you, not let the devil rob us of our faith or our fear, but Lord, help us to focus on you. Lord, we can become victorious, live victorious lives for you, knowing that you'll be with us to strengthen us, to help us. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, that tonight they would surrender their heart to you. They'd call upon you, repent of their sins, turn to Jesus Christ in faith. trust him as their Savior. Father, have your will in your way. With head bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Ray, I'm not saved. I don't know in my heart if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure of that. You say, would you pray for me? I said, I'm concerned about it. Would you slip your hand up and let me have a word of prayer for you? My prayer won't save you. I just want to have a general word of prayer for you. God will save you. Say, pray for me. I'm just not sure. Is there anyone like that tonight? Maybe you're here and you say, Brother Ray, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But I've been going through some trying times, some very difficult times. Say, pray for me that God would help me to put my faith in him and not in my own abilities. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Hands all over. I know this is trying times, and that's what it is. It's a test. But if we'll turn to the Lord, he does care, and he wants us to put our trust in him. Would you do that? Just put your trust in him that he will see you through. Father, have your way in these hearts tonight, Lord, these lives. And Father, I know that the devil wants to rob us of that, but Lord, help him not to have the victory. Lord, may you be glorified in every life tonight. May we put our faith and trust in you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.